Prime time is anytime. Subscribe to the Primetime Sports Podcast at iTunes or with your favorite podcatcher. Sportsnet 590 The Fan on demand. Sit down for the most unique dinner date you've ever experienced, because the dinner conversation is about to get testy with Bob. This is Primetime Sports with Bob McCowan on the Sportsnet Radio Network.
You know, it's not Bob McCowan. McCowan will be back on Monday. It's Jeff Blair. And Paul Jones, my co-host. Just another run-of-the-mill day in Toronto sports.
Anything happened today?
It's not like they went out and got Choi Tulowitzki or anything like that.
You know, it'd be nice if they got David Price. Oh, wait a minute.
Well, they did get David Price.
And again, what was the last thing I said before I left here?
Say it again.
Somewhere my dad is, like, upset. Well, I haven't talked to him, but as a guy with a Dodger fan with all the money, he figured they were getting Price. Oh, we'll just buy it. You know, kind of like the old George Steinbrenner. But no such luck. Blair, have you, like, how long is the electronic fence that goes around the studio for you here?
No, there's no electronic fence.
Like, I heard you on,
I was doing my show. I did Baseball Central.
You didn't do the show with your name on it. Although you appeared on the show with your name on it yesterday.
That's right. No, I did. I did Baseball Central. Did a little hit with Hazel May, the news conference. And again, if you already know, David Price is with the Blue Jays, Daniel Norris, Jairo Labour, and Matt Boyd with the Detroit Tigers. And I came here to do this.
Well, you were also...
It's baseball, man. It's baseball.
Playing the part of Andrew Walker on Brady and Walker for a bit.
For a while.
Yeah.
For a while. It's baseball, man. It's like the best day ever.
I was working.
One of the best days
ever. I was working out and had it on, and I told my 12-year-old son, who is, I mean, what kid doesn't play video games and, you know, knows all the players or whatever? I said, hey, pal, what'd you think of Tulowitzki? Oh, Dad, he was great. And now they have David Price. And he looked at me and said, oh, my gosh, the real David Price? You know how you can trade in video games? You can trade guys? No, buddy. They made the trade. They got David Price.
It is quite a day if you're a Toronto Blue Jay fan. Quite a day if you're a Toronto Blue Jay player. We already heard from Josh Donaldson. And we're going to hear now from Marcus Stroman, who I gather was in class when this happened, correct?
I was sitting on my phone in class trying to hide my phone from the teacher.
What class was it?
I'm in a History of Slave Society class, so it's pretty intense.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. And
a lot going on.
What happened when you got out and were able to turn the phone on?
I texted David right away. I had his number from last year when we connected when he was in Toronto. So I was kind of talking to him a little bit, and then once it happened, man, I mean, I ran out of the room, kind of celebrated for a little bit, gathered my thoughts, and then went back into class.
What does it mean to you, and kind of seeing some of the tweets, though, what does it mean to you to maybe be able to get a chance to work with the guys, certainly in the short term, but maybe in the long term?
I mean, it means the world. He's one of the best in the game. I mean, not only on the field, but off the field as well. One of the best personalities in the game. He's been a role model of mine that I've been watching since he was at Vanderbilt. So to be able to play with someone like that, it means the world to me, and I cannot wait to get back and be able to start that.
You know, Marcus, I'm going to ask you about when you might be able to get back in there in a minute, because I know everybody's waiting for that, but I'm going to prolong it a bit by asking you, I asked Josh Donaldson what it was, because we've all seen David Price, but what it was about David Price that made him a special pitcher, a guy who was tough to hit against. I mean, you know this guy, you've watched him a lot. From a pitcher's point of view, tell me what makes David Price a big cut above the average guy.
Honestly, his confidence and his demeanor. I think that plays a part in it more than even his stuff. Just how confident he is in the pitches that he throws is going to get the hitters out, and that shows on every single pitch that he delivers towards the plate. And that's something that I kind of try and pride myself off of and do the same.
Now I'll ask you the question to a lot of people, and I'm already getting it on Twitter. You've got to ask Stroman when he's coming back. Now we've heard rumors, and
a tough position here.
Well, and you know, I mean, you've kind of fanned the flames a bit. Every now and then, I go on Twitter, and there's Stroman saying, "I wonder what September's like in Toronto." You know, and
yeah, absolutely. I mean, the work that I'm putting in. I mean, I'm working harder than I have ever in my life. So, I mean, I've been working out twice a day, 6 days a week for the past 3.5 months. So. Yeah, I'm excited. I'm excited for the progress. I'm really excited with where I'm at right now in my throwing program as well as with my knee. And I'm getting antsy, and I'm looking forward to possibly coming back this year. So it's all in the works, and I just have to stick to the plan and live out these last few weeks on campus here and get back.
If you're not back to play or back in that capacity, what are the prospects for just kind of being here and being around it, especially if there's really meaningful baseball going down the stretch, Marcus?
Honestly, the only thought in my mind right now is to be back and to be back playing. No other thought, to be honest with you. But obviously, if that wasn't the case, I would obviously definitely most likely be there for that atmosphere and to be there with the team. But that's not even a thought in my head. The first thought is to be back playing and to be helping this team get to the playoffs, not watching from the sideline. Mm.
You know, Marcus, you were an integral part of this team last year when you came up. You were a really important part of the clubhouse dynamic. I asked Josh Donaldson the same question I'm going to ask you. Troy Tulowitzki is going to be here for a while. He's got 4 or 5 years left in his contract. What would you tell Troy Tulowitzki about Toronto?
Honestly, it's one of the greatest cities I've ever encountered, and I've encountered a ton of cities out there, but the love that the fans have, you know what I mean? Just everything about it. The food, I mean, I can't express enough to you how much I can sit here and go all day, but I think Toronto should be a great place for ambassadors and for people to come to. And it's a city that's growing, and it's a city that obviously we're making some serious moves, and hopefully to bring a lot of noise to the city soon.
Hey, Marcus, you talk to any of the other guys in the clubs? I know you're in class and you're trying to concentrate, and that has to be the most difficult thing. I know what it's like, and a lot of guys know what it's like to be in class, yet your mind is somewhere else. Have you talked to any of the other guys in the clubhouse about, you know, well, how it went down, what they're feeling, what the mood or what the level of excitement is?
Yeah, everyone is very excited. Everyone's turned up, like Danny V would say. but yeah, everyone's excited. I just got off of FaceTime with Sanchi and Batista, and everyone's excited. You know what I mean? I'm excited. I can't explain to you how hard it is to lock in and write a paper down here while all this is going on. It's probably the hardest thing I've ever had to do because I obviously want to be in Toronto while all this is going down. So it's exciting, man, and I'm looking forward to being back with them sooner than later.
In conversation with Marcus Stroman on Primetime Sports, David Price has had a lot of success in this ballpark. As a point of fact, he hasn't had a losing game here, or at least he hasn't been tagged with the loss here. He has had some difficult games, but by and large, he's pitched well here. Marcus, what's the secret to pitching in this ballpark?
Obviously, the ball flies well, you know what I mean? So obviously, keep it on the ground. But, I mean, there's no secret, to be honest with you. His stuff obviously plays in every ballpark. He's the man. He's done it for several years, and he's going to be the guy when he goes out there that's going to dominate. So I'm excited to watch him work every fifth day and to learn every possible thing I can from him.
Marcus, listen, we're going to let you run. I appreciate you doing this. Keep the nose in the books, my friend.
Hey, Marcus.
Yeah, I'm working.
You know something? That paper really won't matter in 4 or 5 years. So get it done. But just when you look back at some point, that paper ain't going to matter.
The paper won't, but getting the degree from Duke will.
Oh, yeah.
Absolutely.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. That's a step along the way, my
Marcus,
man.
Marcus, again, thanks for joining us. Continue. I hope the rehab continues smoothly, man. And if you can make it back here in September, we'll be among the first in line down there to shake your hand.
Yeah, I'll see you guys soon.
All right, Marcus.
It's Marcus Stroman. Right. Wait, he sounds like he means it when he says, "I'll see you guys soon." It's like, yeah, I'm on my way.
You know, it's a tough injury to come back from.
Yeah, it is.
But yet it's happened to him at an early stage. So, you know, down the road, you look, better happen now than later on.
Yeah.
Right. And when you think about it, a young guy like that with the capacity to recover.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, they always say it's how an athlete recovers from a major injury.
Yep.
He's got it, and he's got it early. And, you know, do you have to save him from himself? I don't think so at this point because he's young enough. It's not like the guy's been in the league a long time or, you know, he's in a different sport and there's been wear and tear. I mean, if he's ready to go and he says his body's ready to go, I don't think it's a case where you kind of, as I said, save him from himself. Let him run. Let him go.
Yeah, it's, I mean, the one thing, I was going to say the one thing this trade does is it's bought everybody a little extra time.
Yeah.
But, I mean, we haven't even addressed that. We haven't even addressed that situation about what happens in this team if Marcus Stroman is ready to pitch. I mean, I'll throw something out there. Even if he isn't in the rotation, if Marcus Stroman's arm is healthy, if everything checks out, put Marcus Stroman's arm in the bullpen.
Exactly.
Just use it a little bit. Just use it a little bit. Just use it a little bit. Now you got Stroman, Sanchez, and Osuna. I'm just throwing that out there.
Well, you use him as a guy that, hey, if you need to get, and this is generally done a lot, correct me if I'm wrong, Jeff, with lefties, you know, a lefty specialist. But what's not to say you couldn't have, in a sense, him come in for one or two batters. And even if you know that, okay, well, we've burned through him, but you've got the depth in the bullpen that you can bring somebody else in. I mean, what's the old adage in baseball? You never have too much pitching.
Yeah, it's an interesting concept. And when the rosters expand, you can do it. And frankly, if the knee's sore, you don't pitch him.
Yeah.
If you need to give him 3 or 4 days off before you use him again for a bit out of the bullpen, fine. Don't pitch him. It's an interesting I'll tell you what, when a guy signs off like that, yeah, I'll see you. It's like
he knows more than we do.
He knows more than we do.
Yeah,
exactly.
He's you guys don't know, but I'm and as he said to me, as he said to us when I asked the question, my intention is to be there in pitching.
Yeah.
Not to, and I know when, and again, I always reflect back to what I know from a basketball sense, and I'm talking to some cat on Twitter here who's all over, you know, why would you love it? 3 prospects, only 12 starts. What I know in from basketball is you win with the best people.
Mm-hmm.
And I take a guy like Pat Riley that's got championship rings. The last major superstar he drafted and developed, major superstar, was Dwayne Wade.
Mm-hmm.
Riley has always been a guy, you take the seeds, I'll take the tree.
Right.
And if I have to transplant the tree and the roots are good, I'll make sure I get all the roots and put it down and I'll be fine. And you stick to your philosophy. And to me, David Price, I know what David Price is. I love the prospects, but like popcorn, some pop, some don't, right? And the ones that don't, what do you do with them? You throw them out.
Yep.
So if you know what you have, I'm all for it. And what's to say, we talked about this yesterday, what's to say that the Jays now don't have the 2-3 month head start on recruiting David Price?
Well,
he'll probably opt out. Not opt out. He'll be looking for lots of money.
Yeah, he's asking for about, it'll probably be about $230 million over 6 or 7 years. But you're right. I mean, the Jays have a couple of months to deal with this guy. And let's face it, this is a guy who's pitched in Tampa, and he re-signed in Tampa, and he's pitched in Detroit. So it's not like he necessarily needs the bright lights. Buck Martinez is the TV voice of the Blue Jays. He's played for the Jays. He's managed them. He's broadcast Jays baseball. Buck, let me ask you this, because I wasn't here in 92, 93. I wasn't here when that sort of the seeds of that team were being sown. I was covering the Montreal Expos. What have the past 72 hours been like? In Blue Jays historical perspective, from your point of view, what have the past 72 hours been like?
Well, Jeff, it's very similar to those World Series seasons when Pat Gillick had a need. He went out there, and not only did he fill a need, he brought in the best player available. Ricky Henderson comes in midstream, and David Cohn comes in midstream. It's very similar to what's happened the last 2 days. Troy Tulowitzki and David Price, you have the best position player and the best pitcher on the market, and you have them both. I think it's a real boost to this ball club, and you could see it in the clubhouse on the field today. There's a lot of energy in the Blue Jays team right now, and I think this is a pretty special time for it. It reminds me a lot of those years, 92 and 93.
You know, I know from talking to you, I know from your work on TV, from listening to you on TV, you're a big fan of Jim Hickey, the Tampa Bay Rays pitching coach. And somebody asked me, I think it actually was Hazel May today when we were on TV, about to sort of talk about David Price, the pitcher. And one of the things I that first came to my mind is something you said, something you and Pat had talked about at length. One thing you know about a guy who's come up through the Tampa Bay Rays organization, they can think pitching because Jim Hickey has worked with them. And Jim Hickey has said that David Price was one of those guys that only needed to hear one thing one time, and he could immediately take it and apply to his particular situation. In addition to having great stuff, this guy is a really smart intellectual pitcher, isn't he?
Yeah, he sure is. And you know, Hickey made that point several times that he had to talk to David a couple of times about using his cut fastball too much. He said, listen, you throw 97. Not everybody on this staff can throw 97. Don't discount the impact of your fastball. So he went back to throwing the fastball over and getting ahead, and then he's just blossomed. I mean, this guy is 40 games over 500. Mm. And not only is he a great pitcher, he might be the best teammate in the game. He roots for his team. He stays on the bench. He's constantly talking baseball. And how many times have we seen a picture of David Price in the dugout when he's not pitching with a bag of popcorn saying, come on, guys, we can beat these guys. He truly enjoys the game.
Yeah, he is a presence all the time.
Hey, Buck, Jonesy here. When I think about what it does to the clubhouse, I mean, people will look at the record right now. I mean, the injection that they've had with Tulowitzki and now with Price. I think somebody asked Alex this earlier in the newser. All of a sudden, the lead doesn't look that, it doesn't look that insurmountable, does it? I mean, the fact that they're, you know, a few games out of the wild card and they're still trailing the Yankees. They feel they've got to feel they've got the firepower now to run people down.
No question. And you know what? His spot comes up on Sunday. They had just designated DuBrant, and there was a question as to who's going to pitch. Well, that question is removed. And not only does he set up for Sunday, he also sets up for Game 1 in New York against the Yankees. And, you know, everything is kind of coming together. And I think the club is energized. You know, now we have solidified the shortstop position for the long haul. And people say, well, you know, what else is left in the Blue Jays system that might get them a reliever or maybe even another starter? And all of a sudden, you don't need any catching. You've got Martin. You don't need a shortstop in the minor leagues. You've got Tulowitzki. So some of those good minor league shortstops that have, you know, been coveted by the Blue Jays the last couple of years, now they might become very important chips as you look to another trade to continue to add to this team.
And, you know, Buck, I heard you and Pat on with a rash this afternoon. And, you know, I'm hearing the same thing that you're hearing, that a lot of people are hearing, that the Blue Jays are really involved now in the reliever market as well, that Alex, I mean, if you add Troy Tulowitzki, and I understand Alex is right, that's a deal Alex wanted to make in the winter, it's a deal he wanted to make in the spring, it's a deal he'd make Christmas Day, New Year's Day, he'd make that deal anytime. That wasn't necessarily a trade deadline acquisition. This is a trade deadline acquisition, and to me, if you do this, you're almost saying, and I know Alex can't come out and say it, but Buck, you're almost indicating to people that if I'm willing to do this to get a rental, I'm just not going to shut the door, turn off my phone, and say, that's it, I'm not talking to anybody anymore. I fully expect Alex to make one more move at least.
At least one more, maybe more than that. Because
exactly.
He has now the foundation of having the security of knowing he's got Tulowitzki, Donaldson, and Martin for the long term. So now he can look into that rental market with a little more confidence and say, if I have to give up some of these other players, I'm not so concerned because I know what I have as my foundation. You've got two-way defensive players that can hit, and I think they get key positions, catcher. He's certainly at shortstop and in center field. It looks like Pilar is going to be just fine as a long-term center fielder. So, yeah, the club is coming together quite nicely right now.
Buck, am I overplaying the importance of the comfort level that David Price can have established here in Toronto as we go forward in terms of the, quote, recruiting process, unquote?
No, not at all. David Price is a very bright man, and there's a lot more to David Price than just a baseball player, and he will be impressed as he spends his time here in Toronto. This is one of the world-class cities in North America, and I think David will recognize that. Mark Burley has had a definite change of heart since he's played for the Blue Jays, understanding that he's very fortunate to play in this atmosphere. And, you know, I think David Price is going to find out the same things. You know, he's very big in charity work. He likes to get involved in the community, and this is a wonderful community to do that. And I think the city will embrace David Price.
And, you know, we talked to Josh Donaldson at the start of the show about that. And it's funny because I think Troy Tulowitzki's initial reaction was kind of the same as Josh's initial reaction. You're traded. There's going to be an element of, I've got to take a step back, take a deep breath and everything. And Josh said, and Buck, you know this, you spend more time around Josh than I do, but I mean, Josh Donaldson might be the only player I've been around in 4 years who has basically come out and said, it's artificial turf, that's no problem. I mean, he likes the city. He likes the ballpark. And, you know, don't underestimate the impact of having a guy like Josh Donaldson and maybe Troy Tulowitzki trying to sell a guy in the ballpark and the city.
I think the atmosphere will sell itself. And, you know, David Price understands the AL East, and it's the best. And it's been down this year, but over the years it has been the best. And I think he likes to compete against the best. So we're going to see him. You know, he's got a 44-21 record against the AL East, and that bodes well for the Blue Jays. Everybody gets pushed down in the rotation. And now, you know, you look at Sanchez and Osuna and Hendricks and Schultz, and the bullpen's throwing very well right now, so I think that's very encouraging for the overall makeup of this ballpark.
Hey, you know, Buck, I want to just shift focus a little bit here because you and Pat talked about this last night, and it's something I desperately wanted to talk to you about because you have caught. We saw shots of Russ Martin last night, and he looked, frankly, looked really pissed off on a couple of occasions. You know, the ball from R.A. Dickey, I mean, he caught one kind of around the thumb area. I mean, I watch this, Buck, and, you know, half the time my heart's in my throat because I keep almost expecting that I'm going to hear Russ Martin's taken out of the game with a broken hand or a fractured thumb or something. How much of an issue is this for the Blue Jays? Because he looks really worn out when he catches R.A. Dickey.
It's an emotional downer in the moment he knows he's got to catch Dickey. And he's a real pro. He never talks about it, but you can see it in his body language. It's a battle for him. Not, you know, he wants to do his best. He's got 16 pass balls, and that really grates on him. He takes a lot of pride in being a good catcher, and a knuckleball is going to force you into a lot of those pass balls. But not only is it physically it's challenging because it'll beat you up, it's mentally challenging because you want to do a good job and you're fighting that knuckleball all night long. You know what? Russell put up his best numbers when Josh Tolley was here. And Josh was catching R.A. Dickey, and Russell would get a natural night off every fifth day. Plus, he didn't have to worry about it. And physically, his hands weren't beaten up and he could swing the bat with much more authority.
Hey, Buck, I want to jump back to David Price. What watching him pitch at Rogers Center, what do you think has made him so successful in a park where it's sometimes difficult for pitchers to have that kind of success?
Yeah, it's the fact that he likes those types of challenges. You know, the best rise to the occasion, and David is among the best, obviously. There are only a handful of aces in baseball, and I'll put him in that class. I'd say maybe 10 in total in all of baseball. And now the Blue Jays have one of the best in David Price, but pitching at this ballpark, he always knew the numbers. He knew how many home runs the Blue Jays hit here, and he would just ratchet it up a notch or two to pitch well here. And he's got great numbers in this ballpark, as you mentioned, Paul.
Buck, I'm going to let you run. Rest your voice, because you know what? This place is, or the Rogers Center is going to be absolutely torn apart in this Kansas City series. So you're going to need to bring it.
It should be a great series, and then Twins right behind him, and I think everybody's looking forward to this game tonight just to get another game with Tulowitzki under our belt.
Buck, thanks for doing this, man.
All right, fellas.
All right, Buck.
It's Buck Martinez, Blue Jays TV voice. And yeah, it was funny because we came in today, Barker and I came in Baseball Central, and what are we going to talk about? Well, we got to talk about R.A. Dickey and Russ Martin and how Martin was beaten up and you know how much of a concern this is.
I was sitting at my kitchen table, kind of surfing and watching Twitter and my head exploding with all the trade rumors, too. Yeah. And it was kind of funny to listen to you guys. Could be David Price. Might be David Price.
My God, it is David
it
Price.
It is David Price.
And the first tip-off we got was that Daniel Norris had received a phone call from Alex Anthopoulos. Yeah. He was in the Buffalo Bisons clubhouse, and that he'd received a phone call from Alex Anthopoulos.
And good for Alex. Because you know what, Jeff? We've heard many times,
yes.
many a player, well, I didn't hear from the GM.
Yeah,
I found out from somebody else, or Daniel, it was third party.
And Norris made that point when we talked to him today. Yeah. He said, hey, I want to thank Alex because I heard about this. I heard about the trade before it was out there in social media. So, and you know what? That's the way it should be. I mean, we had that incident last night with Wilmer Flores of the Mets in the game crying. And
what'd you think about that?
Well, I talked about it in Baseball Central. Oh, yeah. You know, I mean, here's the thing. I don't think anybody was at fault. You know, people were hammering on the Mets because they left the kid out there when he's crying. Well, you're Terry Collins. You're a game out of the National League East. And your general manager hasn't told you if there's a deal because there's no deal. And, you know, people are hammering the Mets. How could you leave the kid out there when he's crying? I mean, what else are they supposed to do? So,
hey, get out there and play. You're getting paid.
Exactly. And then we found out, of course, that, you know, the deal fell apart for, I mean, there's two reasons. One is Carlos Gomez's health, which, I mean, I had a guy with another organization tell me it was total BS. It was just that the Mets essentially made a last-minute financial request to Milwaukee. Milwaukee said, that's not the deal we had.
Right.
We're not going to do it. Once that happened and the deal fell apart, everybody immediately started hammering on the guys on Twitter who were reporting it. And, you know, you can't report something until it's done. And yada. This is the way it is now.
It's the climate now. It is the climate now.
You know
now.
What you can't do as a reporter? Ken Rosenthal can't go to his boss and say, you know what? I had an idea. I heard about this deal, but I didn't report it because it wasn't completely confirmed yet. I only had a couple of sources doing it. To which point his boss is going to go, yeah, we're not paying you to do it. We're paying you to get stuff out there. You know, and I heard a couple of people talking about it last night, and there were a couple of people on Twitter saying, you know, whatever happened to you got to get it right before you get it first. And my response was, that's not the rule anymore.
No, it's not.
The rule now,
no, it's not.
And I'm not saying this is right.
Unfortunately,
yeah,
exactly.
The rule now is get it out there first, hope like hell that you're half right, and that's it.
And then tweak along the way.
Exactly. Yeah. That's it. And whether or not it's, you know, it's not Woodward and Bernstein, I guess I've just dated myself there, haven't I?
I know who they are.
It's not all the president's men and all that, but you know what? That's the way it is now. So for God's sake, people, stop hammering on, A, the Mets for what happened there, unless, you know, if the deal fell apart because of the financial thing, that's fair criticism. But don't hammer on Terry Collins because he left the kid out there. And Terry Collins' line was great. I've been crying in the third inning during games.
Yeah.
Nobody's come and taken me out. And, I mean, don't hammer in the reporters.
Look, the kid is paid to play. It's a business. Unfortunately, he took the business part of it to heart.
Yeah.
And you can't do that. You've got to have – and he's young. So, that, I mean, that goes with the turf. But at the same time, you're right. Terry Collins, hey, man, I'm trying to win. I'm trying to win. Get out there and play until we say – you're traded or you're no longer with
us. And I understand people's reactions. Well, you know, it's the Mets. This was one of those things where there was an accumulation, a coming together of unfortunate circumstances. That's all it was. And I think Craig Calcaterra of Hardball Talk, I retweeted one of his tweets. He said, this isn't murder. This isn't selling state secrets. This isn't the Middle East. This isn't, you know, nobody died here. Everybody relax. Anyhow, off the soapbox.
Didn't break one of old man Jones's big three.
What?
Is it immoral? Is it illegal? Did it hurt anybody?
No.
No. So,
having said that, do I feel sorry for Wilmer Flores? Hey, I young kid out there in the middle of the field. Yeah, but sometimes it happens. And I just don't think anybody, I don't think anybody was at fault. We are going to be joined by Jeff Passan of Yahoo Sports, Pat Henkin, and Mike Wilner. We'll have lots ahead on the Blue Jays' big day, shall we say? The Blue Jays'
big 3 days, man.
Yeah, the Blue Jays' big 3 days. But we're going to take a little time to talk a little hoops. Jerry Stackhouse is a new Toronto Raptors assistant coach. I have been looking forward to this interview. Love the fact that Jerry Stackhouse is on the staff. Jerry Stackhouse, the Raptors' new assistant coach, will join Paul Jones and myself when Primetime Sports continues on the Sportsnet Radio and Television Network.
It's the only time you have control of Bob McCowan. Let's go. Subscribe to Primetime Sports Podcast at iTunes or with your favorite podcatcher. Sportsnet 590 The Fan, on demand. Now more great sports talk on Sportsnet 590 The Fan.
You might think all we're going to do is talk baseball today. No. Although we will have baseball for the entirety of the 6 o'clock hour, and then we'll have Blue Jays baseball at Sportsnet 590, The Fan. And the Sportsnet Regional Networks tonight as the Blue Jays and Kansas City Royals play the first of a four-game series. It is Jeff Blair sitting in for Bob McCowan. This is Primetime Sports. That is Paul Jones, and the gentleman joining us is the new assistant coach of the Toronto Raptors, Jerry Stackhouse. Jerry, thanks so much for joining us today.
Good afternoon, fellas. Thank you for having me.
I was going to say that considering the amount of sports news being made in Toronto today, you probably feel like you've landed. You may have landed in the middle of something. But I did want to ask you, you know, the Raptors obviously decided to make changes to Dwayne Casey's staff at the end of the season. When did they first talk to you about joining the staff? And you know, how did that whole process come about of talking to Dwayne and kind of making sure all the ducks were lined up?
Well, I mean, it started kind of in the spring, when I was traveling, the coaching, you know, at the high school level, at the grassroots level, and mm-hmm. I was doing some things with Adidas, and actually saw Masai and those guys over in Eurocamp over there scouting some guys, and had a chance to talk with them a little bit there. I met with them a little bit before then, and you know, Dwayne had reached out to me, you know, after they had made a few changes on the staff, and felt like was that something that I'd be interested in, and obviously it was. I mean, just trying to, you know, only 30 jobs, get an opportunity to get in and be a part of a staff, you know, it was definitely something that I was looking forward to. Wasn't anything set in stone at all, but just kept kind of working. You know, both sides of it with, you know, obviously with Coach and Masai and Jeff Weltman, and just listening to their plan for this team and how they can kind of get over the hump from how they kind of fizzled out last year was intriguing to me. And obviously, at the end of the day, I basically told them, if you decide to bring me on, I'm coming. So, I mean, that was about any negotiation or anything, I'm coming. So I was just ecstatic to be a part of the staff.
Stack, Jonesy here, man. Good to have you in town. Really good to have you in town.
My God, what's happening, Jonesy?
You guys must know each other
a little bit. Let me ask you this, and I'm gonna pull something out before the end of this interview that you're gonna have to answer. But what does the ex player in you? What can you really lend to the staff? Because it seems to be a way that a lot of teams are going right now. You bring an ex player in. Can really relate to the guys. What I know your role, you're going to have many different things that Case has you doing, but that's a key because you're a guy that we're in. I mean, you were a guy in the trenches. What do you think you bring in that regard?
Well, I mean, obviously, I feel like I've sat in all those seats. I mean, for pretty much every player on that team, from the top player to the guy at the end of the bench through the course of my playing years, over 18 years, I've dealt with the dynamics and that they deal with on a day-to-day basis, mm-hmm. you know, maybe not playing, feeling like you should play, or, you know, all those things. I think there were moments during those times as a player where you were looking for something. You were looking to hear something from somebody to really just get game. The game is about confidence, and it's all about making sure that all your players are at the utmost confidence, even when it's not a confident moment. So, I mean, I think that's something that I could, you know, I bring to the table, but more so, it's just like I said, so many, you know, different angles and intangibles that hopefully that I can bring, and it's really whatever coach wants me to do. You know, I'm not really coming in with the mindset of, hey, I need to do this or I need to do that. It's like, you know, in the morning after I meet, what's the focus today? What do I need to do? I know one thing that I'm going to be consistent with is just bringing energy, and that's what I love about it, the fact that I can still get out on the court and can kind of bang guys and, you know, harass them a little bit and, you know, go with some of the nuances that I've learned over the course of playing for, you know, almost two decades. And hopefully that can be beneficial to our group as well.
Stack, I know when we talked by text back a while ago, things weren't totally done, but how much video, how much have you studied the team knowing that you were going to be in the mix? I mean, everybody knows what happened in the playoffs at the end of the season, but leading up to that, looking at the successes, what made the team so good early on, and then when it started to fall off, I know you video is a huge part of it. How much have you looked at, and what have you seen from, you know, as an assistant coach, your job is to make suggestions. What suggestions are on the docket for Dwayne Casey?
Well, I mean, I just think, you know, at the end of the day, obviously this coach has final decision, but I think he gives us the latitude to make suggestions of what we think is best. And I mean, and obviously I'm going to suggest things that have bode well for me and the teams that I've been on,
yeah.
You know,
mm-hmm.
in the past. I mean, I think just kind of having a staple of how you defend, a scheme of how you, you know, play offense. Those are some suggestions that, you know, that I'll make. Not that he's gonna take all of them, because we have other really good coaches. I mean, on our staff, you know, we're Rex, love Rex, been knowing him ever since I was a rookie. Undrafted rookie, going out to work out with teams. He was the guy that picked me up from the airport. So, I mean, it's like things come full circle in this league. So, Andy Greer, obviously a great defensive mind. So, I'm looking to, you know, just try to – we need to find – I suggest we find the Bible of how we want to do things and come up with a kind of a blueprint of how we want to do things offensively and defensively. And I think that's what we come in with, that same effort to try to teach that. I mean, maybe it'll tweak here and there, but for the most part, we have to have a way that we said that we're going to hold guys accountable to doing things. And I think all of our guys feel strongly about that.
It's Jeff Blair and Paul Jones on Primetime Sports, joined by Jerry Stackhouse, the new assistant coach of the Toronto Raptors. You said that you coached in high school a bit. You'd gotten back to the grassroots. I love asking guys who were good players and then go on to coach. I love asking them this. What do you learn, or what have you seen that's different from the other side now? Now that you kind of been there and you've been a coach, even regardless of the level it is, you had to make decisions, you had to make calls on players. Anything you're learning now about coaching that maybe you wish you'd known when you were playing?
Well, I mean, I just think from the standpoint of my eyes become a little bit, you know, sharper from the standpoint of seeing everything that's going on in the game. I think as a player, you know, as an offensive player, I would take it like this. Where I didn't really worry about my man at all. I was looking at the next defender. So mm-hmm. I think those, I kind of had four guys in my sight. I think as you grow as a coach, I mean, and I've grown, you know, each year I've gotten better and better. I think I've gotten an eye to where I see all 10. And I think that's the key, that you understand where the mistake was made offensively and where this mistake was made defensively, and being able to point that out and sometimes head guys off from some of those, you know, when you can see things, see ahead and see where a mistake is about to happen. If your guy is too close to his guy on the weak side, you can go ahead and tell him, get in, be in. You know,
mm-hmm.
Simple things like that are what I've grown to see outside of playing. I didn't see, honestly, for the 18, I think probably, you know, maybe the first 15 years, I didn't see that. But either those last 3 years that I played, when I was more in kind of a coach and mentor role, I started to see those things even more. And then when I slid over to that seat while I was coaching, you know, my AAU program, I really was able to see, wow. You know, I was like, I was, you know, and so I think those are things that I feel that I'll help bring. And obviously, other coaches have that type of eye too, to be able to see things and help guys before they actually make those mistakes.
So, Stack, it's about the next step, and as you talked about the tweaks, I mean, a lot of people were upset that after a 7-game series last season in the playoffs, or 2 seasons ago, that last season it ended in a sweep. And I know when you were in Dallas, you guys were right there. You get to the finals and you're up 2-0, and things kind of fall apart on you. When you look at those tweaks, as much as they are physical, talk about the mental side. What do you need to do mentally to get past or get over the hump when, you know, you become a playoff team for 3-4 years, or you become a high seed? I mean, people forget that, you know, that there was a Dallas team that had 60 wins that lost to Golden State. And then it kind of keeps going. It keeps building. And all of a sudden, you're in the finals and you're only 2 wins away.
Yeah, I mean, I think there's, again, I spoke about it earlier, it's just about confidence. As much as you can gain confidence of getting off to a good start and under, you know, and guys really having buy-in to watch coach, you know, which way coach wants to play on both ends of the floor, and us coming in and bringing that energy to make sure that they can get better in those areas. And that, I think that's it, man. You have to get better. You have to improve. You know, I think that the playoffs, I mean, it was just, kind of looking at some of those games, so it was a tough matchup. I mean,
yeah.
I think the Washington Wizards didn't get credit for being a really, really, really good defensive team. And I think that you know, we kind of ran into, maybe if we played someone else in the first round and were able to get by and had a little more confidence, it would be a whole different message that we're saying right now. But the fact that we did kind of fizzle out last year, it's about just getting guys' confidence back, knowing that we're a really good team. You don't win, you know, whether you say the East is down, but you don't win 49, 50 games in any conference without being a pretty good team. So I think it's just the fact that we got to get over that hump. You know, the fans are, you know, passionate, and they want that to happen. So there's a little bit of pressure there, but at the same time, I think it's healthy pressure. And we're looking forward to getting to work. I think Masai and Jeff and those guys and Coach, they've made a really good you know, approach at this summer of going out and getting guys that feel the needs that we had. I think just from a defensive standpoint, going out and getting Damari Carroll, a guy that not only was great for Atlanta this year on the defensive end, but he's really improved his offense. So I think a starting three was something that was on the target list, and we went out and got one of the better guys, Scola, another guy that could score and has a lot of savvy. I just like the makeup of the team and the changes that we made, and hopefully we can all come together. That's what it's about. Mm-hmm. No team is that much more talented than the other in the NBA. It's just about which team comes in with the mindset that we're going to buy into what the coach says, we're going to buy into the style of play, and go out and execute.
So one of the surest locks in the NBA, first of all, Stack, who are some of your favorite musical artists?
Oh, jeez.
Oh, man. Because
you know where I'm going, right? You know where I'm going. One of the surest locks in the NBA was in the playoffs was when you had a closeout game, who sang the anthem?
Hey, man. Hey. I got a pretty good record there.
Okay.
Man,
so. Jerry Stackhouse was 3-0 when Milwaukee was up 3-2 and ready to close it out. And I got a text from somebody saying, Stack singing the anthem tonight. The series is over. And do you remember what happened?
It should have been.
They got beat, and it's 3-1. So what I want to know is if we get to a closeout game here in Toronto, let alone the Raptors, be it the Blue Jays, the Argos, the Leafs, do we see Jerry Stackhouse singing the anthem?
I might have to bless the nation.
Now, I will say that, I mean, you don't just get out there and talk through it. I mean, we get a pretty good rendition, don't we?
Oh yeah, we're gonna try to make it happen. I know most of the words. I got to tighten up a little bit on the Canadian anthem, but
you'll hear it enough. You'll hear it enough, Jerry.
Jerry, listen, we appreciate you joining us. Welcome to Toronto. It's great to have you here, and we're gonna look forward to talking to you during the basketball season. Thank you.
Appreciate that. Thanks, man.
All right, Stack.
Jerry Stackhouse. What a player he was.
It's funny because you see him stand up there and sing the American anthem.
Oh, he doesn't half-ass it.
Oh, I know. If you couldn't see and you heard, you'd say, "Wow, that's a recording star. It's got it. Who's singing that?"
Oh,
I mean,
yeah.
Terrific bass voice, and so you know, maybe
I
maybe
do
we'll
like
see
the argument he got into Byron Scott was an opposing coach. And Byron Scott's line, talk to me when you get a ring. I was like, I told that fool, if I played with Magic and Worthy and Kareem, I'd have a ring too. So, you know, he's a sucker in my book, but that's a whole other story.
He will fight you.
Yeah, he teammate, opponent, coach, head coach, assistant coach, it doesn't matter. I know who's going to have the final say in those meetings. Dwayne Casey may think he's going to have the final say. Something tells me there'll be a few of them where Jerry Stackhouse has a final say, but it was great of Jerry Stackhouse to join us. Jeff Passan, Yahoo Sports MLB columnist, will join us at the top of the hour along with Pat Henkin and Mike Wilner. Lots of baseball talk to take you right up to the Jays and the Kansas City Royals on primetime on the Sportsnet Radio and Television Network.